Merry Christmas once again. For the last few weeks, we have talked about how Jesus came to earth and how he became so that we could become the children of God. Last week, we talked about how while we wait for Jesus' second coming, we proclaim of his excellency, we proclaim of his beauty, of his perfection, we proclaim of his salvation. Why? Because the world needs a savior. I don't know if you have noticed that, but the world we live today can be very dark. We live in a dark world that needs rescuing, that needs redemption, that needs transformation. And God, our God, is a revolutionary God. He's a God of surprises who is ready to redeem this broken world. In Luke chapter 2, the angels come to the shepherds and says this: "Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." If that is a message that is clear throughout the Bible, is that Jesus came to save. Jesus came to save us from the darkness that is surrounded us. Isaiah, on chapter 9, verse 2, says this: "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the deep darkness, a light has dawned." Jesus, borrowing from the same theme in Isaiah, he says this to the disciples and to you and I today, and I believe this is the main message of the passage, of the message for you, that Jesus said to the disciples and he said to you and I, and this is what he said: "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness again, but will have the light of life." You have heard me say this many times, that I am scared of the dark. Right? It has even become a joke. But let me tell you this, walking in darkness can be scary, can it? I mean, even if you're a brave and courageous guy, walking at night in the dark, in places that you might not know, might be a scary thing. In a funny way here, I mean, how many of you guys have kids who plays with Legos, right? We have three kids, Laura and I, Caleb, our middle son, loves Lego. And here's the thing about Lego. Lego is cool until it's in the ground at night. And then you got to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. Yes, young guys go to the bathroom in the middle of the night too. All right? And then you don't turn the light on because the light, you're always going to turn the light on, you know. So you start walking, and then what happened? You start stepping on Legos. And this one specific occasion that I'm thinking of, I wake up and Anna is actually crying. So I went to her room to go to her room to attend to my daughter. And I step on a Lego. Man, have you stepped on a Lego in the middle of the night? Right? It's like your knees buckles, right? You're like that, right? It's like, and then you can never fall asleep because like you hurt so bad, your heart rate goes up, and it's like, what just happened? Sometimes walking in the world, in this dark world, feels painful as walking on at night and stepping on a Lego. And so many times the circumstances that we live in life kind of make our knees buckle. Have you ever been there? In a more serious way, I grew up in Brazil, and the place I grew up was very underdeveloped. So we played hide and go seek in the wood. In the woods, and could be very dangerous. We have a lot of things that growing up that was in the woods that were even like fake stories that scare kids away, you know, so you don't do crazy stuff. It was told, folklore stories was told about the woods, but it didn't stop us, the kids, from running the woods and having some fun at night playing hide and go seek. And one specific night, I didn't have my lantern with me. See, back in Brazil, we didn't have money to buy a flashlight, so we made lanterns. So what we get, you get a coffee can, and you open the top, and you put a hole on the side, and you put a candle there, and you light up the candle, and you hold that can, you put a little thing, and you hold that can, a handle, and you could see it lights up the place for you. That specific night, I didn't have my lantern because my mom and dad didn't have a candle that I could use. So I went to play hide and go seek in the dark. And one person is counting and everybody else is running and I'm running to hide. And out of a sudden, I just hear my friend say, "Sim, stop." So I stopped. He's like, "Dude, look where you're going, man." I was like, "What do you mean?" So he shined up the lantern. See, at the woods that I grew up, there was this bush that had like these spikes, these needles that had milk, this milk that came out of it and was poisonous. If it got your skin into your blood, it would create an infection and it would get you fever. And stories I've seen of many people who died of that. So he's like, "Stop, look at where you're going to, man. Look where you're going. You're going to get hurt." So I stopped and I thanked my friend that night for keeping me from running into something that could probably cost my life. Isn't that somewhat an analogy of life for you and I? So many times we are walking in life in the darkness. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what we're doing. And somebody just come and say, "Stop, look where you're going." It's kind of like Jesus did for us as a birth, in his birth. He, as we were walking through this dark world, hopeless world, he comes in the form of a baby and says, "Stop, look where you're going." It could be costly. I was so thankful for my friend and his lantern that night, for warning me and guiding me away from the painful thorns and for the dangers of those thorns. But here's the thing. There are times in our lives when we feel like we are walking in darkness, don't you? Don't you feel like there are times in 2018 that you felt like, "I can see nothing forward. I don't even know how I'm going to get out of this place. I can't see anything ahead of me." You became hopeless. You became fearful. You grieved. Days and months can be very dark after someone that you love passed away. Days and months can be very dark after the doctor come and tell you the C word. You have cancer. Days and months can be very hard when you lose your job and now you know you can't provide. Months and days can be very hard when you know that your marriage is falling apart. Days can be dark, hopeless. When you can't pay your bills or put food on the table for your kids. Days, months can feel very dark and depressing when you can't feel God's presence all around you. Never forget this lady that walked into my office one day and said, "Sam, God's presence is not with me. I can't feel his presence. I want to die because I need God's presence in my life. Is that if I don't feel him, as if I have lost my life." Not feeling God's presence surrounding you, warming you, keeping you safe can be a very dark place to be. Days can be terrible, like after days like the one I just described. But I have noticed that at times, darkness seems to creep in every single aspect of my life, of your life, of our life here on planet Earth. And reality is that this is a dark world and what we need is light. What we need is hope. What we need is a way out of darkness. We need someone who can walk beside us and guide us and strengthen us and comfort us in the midst of the darkness that we are surrounded with. And that's exactly what Jesus came to provide. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 10 tells us this. "Let him who walk in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Let me break it down for you right here. He says, let him who walks in darkness. Listen, this is, doesn't have to be, like when we talk about darkness, people equate it with sin. That doesn't have to be your personal sin. The world is full of darkness, full of evil. And it doesn't matter where we go, we are surrounded by it. So Isaiah knows that, and he says, listen, let who walk in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord. Who are you trusting when you're walking in darkness? When you're sick, when your marriage is falling, when you lost a loved one, when you have lost your job, who is it that you are trusting? So many of us trust ourselves, trust our powers. We want to save ourselves, but reality is that only God can save us. Can only rely on God for salvation. God calls us to rely on Him whenever we are in danger, or we are scared, or we are afraid, or we are grieving, or we are frightened, or when we are worried. He'll be with us. He'll not leave us alone. He'll walk through the darkness with us by shedding the light. Jesus' birth into this world is the flesh. In the flesh, reminds us of how much God wants to be with us and to guide us out of the darkness of this world. He wants to give us light. He wants to give us hope. He wants to give us peace. And Jesus' birth, His life, His death and resurrection should comfort us and reminds us that God is for us, not against us, and He's with us. The Savior, Jesus, says these words for us, and I want to repeat it to you, John 8:12, because it's the main verses of this passage. He says this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness again, but will have the light of life. You really need to pay attention to this verse. Jesus doesn't give us light. I don't know if you noticed that. He's not saying, I'm going to give you light. He doesn't give you life, light. He is Himself light. God, Jesus, doesn't give you hope. He is Himself hope. God doesn't give you peace. He is Himself peace. So peace, love, hope, faith only comes to us when we're following Jesus. He says it is clear. Whoever follows me. Who are you following in the difficult times of your life? David, describing what we read often at difficult moments of our lives on Psalm 23, he reads this. He says this, even though I walk through the valley of death of shadow, I'll fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We usually read these verses on the most difficult times of our lives. And David, even in the most difficult time of his life, or when we quote it, we're declaring something. We're declaring that God is with us, He's comforting us, and He's guiding us to the most difficult aspect of life. God will not desert us. God will never let you go. When the going gets tough, God doesn't give up on you. He is faithful at every moment. When darkness is at its thickest, God is with you and for you and guiding you. The beauty of Christmas is that when darkness was about to consume us, Jesus came to save us from the brokenness and the darkness of this world. Christmas reminds us that when darkness times come, that we ought to cling to Jesus with all our might. He is the one who will uphold us and give us His strength and His tender care. Who better could we trust than the one who died and rose again for our sake? Who is greater than the one whom God the Father has given all authority in heaven and on earth? Who? Listen, Paul tells us that nothing can take us away out of Jesus' care. There's no death, there is no grief, there is no fear, there is no darkness, there is no loss of a job, there is no failure in marriage, there is no sickness, there is no lack of ability to pay for your bills, there is no death. Nothing can take us away from God's care, from God's love. Jesus loves us dearly, and that's why he came, and that's why he became, so that we, you and I, could become children of God. And it is God's promise to you and I that he would be with us during the darkest moment of our lives. So let's do what John tells us to, Isaiah tells us to. Let's put our trust in him and rely in him. The beauty of Christmas is not only that Jesus came, but he came to save us from the darkness, the messes of this world. I don't know what darkness means to you today. I don't know what is that the word mess means to you today, but reality is that Jesus came to save you from darkness. Jesus came to save you from your messes. I have a lot of mess in my life that I need rescuing from. And today I am reminded that I need to rely on God, because only him has the power to save. Jesus. Salvation comes from you and you alone. If that is eternal salvation, eternal life only comes from you. We know that reality is that we can't save us eternally, but you can, Jesus. And that's why you came. That's why you lived. That's why you died on the cross, so that we could eternally live life with God. But it's not only about our spiritual aspect of it. It's about the physical and the emotional aspect of it too, Father. So we pray that as we go through this life on earth, that you would save us from the difficulties, from the messes that we sometimes make. That you would guide us. That you direct us. That you grow us. As we follow you. Follow your light in this dark room. In the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, I would like to come forward. This morning, we have a baptism. And I usually don't say the names because I mess it up. I let the family introduce themselves, right? Isn't that how it goes? So here it goes, Sue. What? Oh, I messed that up.
I'm Sue Chandler.
I'm Sydney Chandler.
I'm Peyton Chandler.
I'm Haley Chandler.
Kevin Chandler.
The Chandler comes before us today because somebody wants to be baptized. How cool is that? Isn't that cool or what? This world is a dark world, and following Jesus reminds us of how he has not only came, but he has become so that we could become child of God. So would you repeat with me your confession of faith? Would you say that? Can we do it together with her? Let's do it together. Let's do it together. So say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I love him. And I'll serve him for all the days of my life. Wow, good job, girl. That's awesome. Woo! She's nervous. Can you tell? All right. So, you guys know how this goes. So you're going to go this way, and we're going to get ready, and you guys can sit down and relax. Let me pray once again. Jesus, you're a loving, gracious God, and gracious God. And baptism reminds us that salvation comes from you and you alone. It is a way of surrendering our lives to you and to say, Father, do to us as you please. We love you, Jesus.